that thought in mind as we read the scripture. Acts chapter number 16. Again, I've enjoyed the singing of the choir. I enjoyed the special music. My, that was beautiful. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Been a while since I've heard that song. Amen. That's a beautiful song. I love it. And I appreciate Brother Nathan, Sister Sheila, and Kathy singing that song. I requested that song tonight because of the message that God's put on my heart to preach. Acts chapter number 16. We're going to begin tonight about verse number 16. And if you found your place and you are able to stand with us as we read the Word of God together. If you're not able, well, that's all right. We understand that. Acts chapter number 16. The Bible said, beginning there in verse 16, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour." You know, Christ doesn't need the devil to testify for him. Amen. And he goes on to say, "And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, and he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. Brother Dean Moody, would you pray and ask the Lord to bless the word tonight?
Our Heavenly Father, with our head, Lord.
Yes, God, we pray. Lord God, we pray. Lord, help us tonight. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, thank you for the sweet Holy Spirit of God. Yes, Lord. Yes, God, grant it, Lord. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. Thank you for that good, humble prayer. Brother Dean, I want us to look back tonight at a verse here in the Scripture. The Bible said in verse 24, it said, "Who having received such a charge," he's talking about the jailer, "thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them." I want you to take note of that tonight, the condition they were in. And I want you to think about what I said a while ago. Amen, that the devil, if we're saved by the grace of God, the devil cannot steal our soul. He cannot steal our salvation. But it seems to me that he is stealing a lot of Christians' song. Amen. But as we read this scripture tonight, I find in this scripture that even in the most severe of circumstances, Paul and Silas did not let the devil steal their song. I want to preach tonight out of this scripture, if the Lord will help me. I want to preach on this thought. I want to preach on, I'd rather sing. As I begin to study today and go over this scripture and pray about this and meditate, I'd preach this sometime back, but I just really tried to pray and get all this fresh and new in my mind, and God seemed to speak to me like he had never spoken before concerning this message. And I want to say tonight, I think as Christians, we have forgotten the truth, amen, that faith grows amid the storms. As a matter of fact, amen, it seems that oftentimes God does the greatest things in our life in the middle of the storms, as he did for Paul and Silas in the scripture that we read. I think that we have forgotten the admonition that we ought to pray the hardest when it's the hardest to pray. And we ought to sing the loudest when it's the hardest to sing. Amen. I think that a lot of Christians, really, I'm just being honest tonight, as God spoke to my heart today, I think a lot of Christians, they have lost their joy and the devil has stolen their song. I really believe that. I mean, I preach in different places, different revivals, and in the churches I pastor, and it seems to me that a lot of Christians, they have lost their joy and they have lost their song. Kind of like the children of Israel. When they were taken off captive down in Babylon, the Bible said in the book of Psalms, amen, that they hung their harps on the willow trees and they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" And there was no singing down in Babylon. I think that's what the devil's doing in the day that we're living in. As difficult as it is for you and I to pray sometimes, as hard as it is sometimes to humble ourselves and confess our sins and be faithful to God and the things of God, I often find it harder, amen, than all of that to give the Lord praise as I ought to give the Lord praise. As we look at this scripture tonight, we have one of the greatest examples in the Word of God from Paul and Silas. We find them in the midst of their missionary journey. They're going and preaching the gospel of Christ, and no doubt people are being saved by the grace of God, and great miracles are taking place. But as they were walking right in the will of God, exactly doing what God wanted them to do, they found themselves beaten and thrown in jail. right in the middle of the storm. Can you imagine that? It would seem to you and I that if we are walking in the will of God and we're doing the things that God wants us to do, it seems to you and I that everything ought to be mountaintops and sunshine. But it's just not that way. I think that the chosen servants of God, amen, they seem to suffer the most. Those that live closest to God, amen, seem to suffer the most, but they seem to be the ones that have the loudest song to sing. Amen. I think about people that I've known in my life and the things that they've suffered and the things they've went through. And yet they held up their head and they held up their hand and in the very midnight hour and they sang praises unto God. And what a glorious sound it was. Paul and Silas had that attitude, amen, of I'd rather sing. The devil couldn't get their salvation, and they weren't going to let him get their song. Amen. Tonight, I think about the Apostle Paul, and I think about how through the Holy Spirit of God, the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said this in Colossians 3 and 16. He said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts unto the Lord. This from a man that knew what it was to be cast out as dead, a man that knew what it was to be in the deep a day and a night, a man that knew what it was to be beaten time and again and stoned and left for dead. A man that knew what it was to be thrown in jail over and over and over again. A man that knew what it was to be persecuted by his own countrymen, by strangers. He said he was in perils within and without. Tells us he was naked and hungry. Tells us he was often in despair, pressed out of measure, the Bible said, but not in despair. He said in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, where's an excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And we quote that a lot of times, but a lot of times we forget about verse 19 where he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Amen. The result of being filled with the Spirit of God is having a song. Amen. Even in the midst of troubles and trials. I'd rather sing. I'd rather sing praise unto God than complain about my problems. That seems to me what I get out of that scripture. I'd rather sing praises to God than complain about my problems. Somebody tell me what complaining has ever accomplished. Not one thing. Not one thing, amen. And we'll go and we'll gripe about the smallest thing and get all out of sorts. My wife tells me sometimes, she says, I'm kind of like Brother Benny Green. I get behind somebody slow and I start complaining and griping. And she says, you're like Brother Benny Green. Madge said that he thinks he's the only one that ought to be on the road. Amen. But what I'm saying tonight, we let the devil steal our song, even through little things. And we complain. Do you know all complaining does? It just makes everybody else around you miserable. That's all it does. It doesn't accomplish one thing. It just makes everybody feel as bad as you feel. Amen. I think that's why we complain.
We want everybody to feel as bad as we feel. But I'd rather sing the praise of God. If anybody had a right to complain, it would have been Paul and Silas. I mean, here they were. I mean, they could have said, "Oh, God, don't you know what we're trying to do? And Lord, why did you let this happen? Lord, why did you send this on us now when things were going so good?" I mean, hey, that's probably what I'd have done. I'd have said, "Lord, why in the world did you let them do that to me? And here I am in this cold, dark jail. My feet's in the stocks and my hands are bound, and no telling what they're going to do." But the Bible said there, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. In every situation in life, in every event that occurs, amen, in the sunshine and in the rain, at the wedding and at the funeral, amen. Oh, when the days are sunny and bright and when the days are dark and cloudy, when we're in safety, when we're in danger, we ought to lift up our voice unto the Lord and sing hallelujah. And not let the devil steal our song. Amen. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? I mean, hey, what a Savior we've got. What a Lord we serve. Amen. Hallelujah. Sister Sheila, will you come to the piano tonight? I want everybody to get them a hymnal. Reach in your bench and get you an old red hymnal. You say, "What are we going to do, preacher?" We're going to sing. Amen. You know what the psalmist said before we sing our song? Look in Psalm 34 and 1. I want you to read that scripture with me tonight. Psalm 34 and verse number 1. Psalm 34 and verse number 1. I want you to listen to what the psalmist said in that scripture. And I want you to read with me very carefully. Sounds like everybody's there. "I will bless the Lord when everything is going good. I'll bless the Lord when I've got plenty of money. I'll bless the Lord when..." Amen. When all, you know, everything just smooth sailing. Not what it says, is it? What does he say? "I'll bless the Lord." Yeah, that's right. At all times. Not once in a while, not once a week. Amen. Not once a month, but all the time. Amen. "His praise shall once in a while be in my mouth." It's not what it says, is it? Says continually be in my mouth, doesn't it? Oh, I'll bless the Lord at all time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Yes, that is what it's like when the devil hasn't stolen your song, amen. You can lift up your voice and sing praises to God even in the midst of the harshest storm. I want us to turn in our hymnal tonight. Turn to... number 113. Everybody will know these songs. They're songs we sing all the time or have sung all the time. Page 113, "Glory to His Name." Go ahead, Sister Sheila. I want everybody to sing. "Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name." Let's skip number two. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross when he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Now let's get the last one. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. Listen to him. My. Hallelujah. That's beautiful, isn't it? Amen. Glory to his name. Hallelujah. I'd rather see, you can stay there right close by, Sister Sheila. We're going to sing some more. I'm telling you, the devil's not going to take our song, amen. I mean, in spite of the devil and all the demons of hell, we're going to sing, amen, to the Lamb of God. Why? Because he deserves to be praised. He's worthy of our praise. Hallelujah. And the world and the flesh and the devil, all they want to do is take your joy and take your song. Hey, but I'm glad that greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. I'd rather sing his praise than complain about my problems. But then number two, I'd rather sing of his peace than be overwhelmed with fear and worry. Amen. Now I want you to put yourself in that situation. You talk about fear and worry. You talk about not knowing what's going to happen. I mean, hey, they'd already beat them half to death. The Bible said that the jailer, after he got saved, he washed their stripes. I mean, their backs were bloody, amen. They were beat no telling how hard. You say, why? Well, they were Jews, but the ones that beat them were Romans. Amen. That's right. No telling. It might have been 39 stripes. It could have been 50 stripes. But they beat them and they threw them in prison. Now, could you imagine what it'd be like if some of us would have been in there? You know what we would have probably said? I said, Brother Wynn, what are they going to do to us? Amen. I said, Brother Wynn, how are we going to get out of this mess now? Oh, here we are in jail, and it's dark in here, and it's cold, and nobody knows we're in here. Timothy don't know we're in here, and Luke don't know we're in here, and what are we going to do? Hey, but God knew they were in there. Hallelujah. Oh my, you never go through a storm, amen, that God doesn't know exactly where you're at. Amen. I think about when they were crossing, and Brother Wynn, I think, preached on that a little bit one night. But when Jesus constrained them to get into the ship and go across unto the other side, Peter, James, and John, the disciples, they got in the ship and they headed out. And when they were 20 or 30 furlongs, there arose a great storm. And Jesus was up on the mountain praying. But the Bible said he saw them toiling and rowing. Yeah, he knows when we're toiling and rowing. He knows where we are, where we're at. Amen. But you know what the old devil would like to do? He'd like to slip in there. What are you going to do now, boys? Yeah, what are you going to do now? Here you are in this jail. They'll probably kill you tomorrow. That's what we'd have been thinking. Could have been what they'd have been thinking. But I can hear them, can't you? I can hear them in there. Maybe Paul says to Silas, he said, Brother Silas, are you all right? Well, he said, Paul, I'm hurting some, but I think I'll be okay. And he said, Paul, are you all right? And Paul said, Silas, they beat me pretty hard, but I think I'll be okay. And Paul said, Silas said, don't you think maybe we ought to just pray and call on the Lord? Silas said, Paul, I think it'd be all right. And they got to praying. And I don't know how long the prayer meeting lasted, but I'll tell you, it's loud enough for the prisoners to hear them pray. And they were calling on God. And could you imagine? I don't think it's one of those pious kind of prayers. Oh, Holy Father and all that stuff, you know. I think they're saying, Lord, 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 we're counting on you, Lord. We're asking you, Lord, to look in on us, Lord. And they were praying and crying out to God. They prayed for a while, and maybe they got through praying. And Silas said to Paul, he said, Paul, that praying sure did help me. I feel like singing a song. Paul said, why don't we sing? And Silas said, Paul, what do you want to sing? And maybe Paul said it like this. Maybe Paul said, you remember that old song in the red hymnal? And I don't guess they had the red hymnal, but you know where I'm going. And Paul said, oh, let's sing about his peace, amen. I'd rather sing of his peace, amen, than be overwhelmed with worry and fear. Let's turn to 360 tonight. At the bottom of the page, 360, let's get the first and the last verse.
Sometimes when misgivings darken the day and face what I cannot see, I ask my dear Lord to cry.
Hallelujah.
He whispers,
oh, what a Savior. My, what a Savior.
Listen. He whispers to me.
Let's get the last one.
He speaks in a still, small voice, we are told. A voice that dispels all fear. And when I'm in doubt or trouble in soul, that still small voice I can hear.
What's any reason to fret and worry when we serve a God that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think? That's our God. That's our Savior. Hallelujah. That's our God. And in Him we are more than conquerors through Christ, which loved us and gave Himself for us. Yes, He whispers sweet peace to me. I'll tell you, and I know, Brother Wendt, I know most of you have experienced this, but you've been out on the storms of life's sea. You've been out there and seemed like everything, amen, the waves were coming in over your head and seemed like when it looked like everything was about to sink, God stepped in and said, peace, be still. And it all got quiet. That's our Savior. That's our God. Oh my. Hey, since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? I'd rather sing of His peace than be overwhelmed with fear and worry. But then last tonight, thinking again about Paul and Silas, I'd rather sing of His presence than let the devil tell me I'm all alone. That's what the devil likes to do in the storm. Did you know that? He likes to tell you you're all by yourself. Do you know, I don't have a doubt. Maybe the old devil whispered to Paul and Silas. He said, "Where's your God at now, boys? Where's your God at now, Paul? Where's your God at now, Silas?" He let you be thrown in this old dungeon, this old prison. Probably going to let you be killed. Probably going to let them take your head off or just beat you to death. You're all by yourself. You're all alone. Boy, the devil's good at that, isn't he? You get right in the middle of the storm and the devil will say, "Where's God at now?" I've heard people make that very statement. We hear it a lot today in some of the tragedies. I remember reading about this lady, and she talked about her daughter, and her daughter was really sick, and she had really prayed, she said, and asked God, and asked God to heal her and touch her, and ultimately the young lady died, and she said, "God, let me down." What she didn't realize is that God answered her prayers greater than they could have ever been answered, because God healed her with a perfect healing, not just a temporary healing. God took her out of all of her pain and all of her misery. God took her out of this world filled with sin and heartache, and God carried her up into His bosom. Hallelujah. I'm telling you sometimes, and no doubt that lady, no doubt the devil whispered to her and said, "Where's your God now? He let your daughter die." But you see, God never failed her. She just didn't realize it. And God never fails us. We just don't always realize it. We listen to the devil, we listen to the flesh, and we listen to the world, and they say, "Where's your God at now? Where's your God?" Paul and Silas no doubt heard that same thing. Can you imagine their conversation? Maybe they got through praying, and Silas said, "Paul," he said, "Paul, I believe the Lord's in here with us." Paul said, "Yeah, I felt a breeze from heaven myself." Hallelujah. And they said, "Hey, let's just start singing to the Lamb of God." And they did. Hallelujah. Amen. I'd rather sing of His presence than let the devil tell me I'm all alone. You remember what I said a while ago? The devil, there's no way he can steal your salvation. And he knows that. But what he wants to do really is steal your song. You know why? Listen to what the psalmist said. If I can find the right psalm. Brother Wynn, my mind went blank. I had it in my mind. I don't have it wrote down. You may have to tell me if I don't find it. Listen to what the psalmist said, and I'll tell you why I said what I said. Let me get turned to where I think it is. Be sure it's not there, but I think it is. Yeah. Is that it? What psalm is it, Brother Wynn, where he said that the Lord brought him up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay? Which psalm is that? 40. I looked at 140. That's where I went wrong. I added 100 to it. Amen. Psalm 40, listen to what he said. Psalm chapter 40, listen to what he's saying. Now, I want to show you why the devil wants to steal your song. Why he desires to take away your song and my song. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. I'm glad God is never deaf toward his children. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. And then he said, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's why the devil wants to steal your song, amen, because he don't want anybody else to hear you praising the Lord. Because he knows that if somebody hears you praising the Lord, they'll get to wondering, what are they singing about? What are they praising about? And they might say, why are you so happy today? And that might open the door for them to hear the gospel. Many shall see it and shall fear, he said. I remember one time I worked with this fellow at the town. And you've experienced this, and you've went through things like this, but how far a Christian attitude goes, amen, in your life to those that don't know the Lord. But I worked with this fellow at the town, and he is kind of tough, and I worked on his crew for a while, and he is one of those fellas, he'd cuss and rare at everything that moved. I mean, he didn't seem like he had a minute's peace in his whole life. Everything upset him. Everything got on his nerves. Everything he growled and fussed and cussed about. Everything. And one day I got to work with him. I'd been working with him several months. And I didn't know if he was watching me or not, but I was trying to live for the Lord. And one day we were out by ourselves and we was working on this little old project and we'd got to go out by ourselves. And the whole time he is quiet. That's unusual. I thought, boy, that's funny. Because he's usually growling about something. But he's quiet. And that day we were there working. And he said, I want to ask you something. He said, I want you to tell me why it is that you seem like nothing ever bothers you. He said, I want you to tell me why it is you don't get upset about stuff and you don't holler and carry on. He had saw it. And I got to tell him why. Boy, you talk about a grand experience. And I got to talk to him about the Lord. I was like Daniel. I said, well, I can't take your credit. I said, it's because the Lord lives in my heart. I said, that's why. Because he's my peace and he's my strength. He's the one that helps me through this walk of life. And do you know from that day on in front of me, now he called himself a time or two, but most of the time in front of me, he wouldn't cuss. Most of the time in front of me, he wouldn't throw a fit unless he just really got mad. And he left, and I got to talk to him more than once, and he finally left, and I don't know if he ever got saved or not, but I know I got to tell him about the Lord. Amen. Why? Because he saw that I had a song in my life that he didn't have. My goodness. And all these music is one of the most powerful things in the world. The devil knows that. Did you know Lucifer, in the kingdom of heaven, he was the angel of music. I mean, he was. The Bible talks about how beautiful he was, and the highest angel of God. The Bible tells us, and the Bible talks about that he had pipes and he had tabrets. He was musical, and he created the music of heaven. And he knows how powerful music is. And in our day, we see what music has become in the world. And people turn to music just like Saul did to soothe their soul. They turn to music to give them inspiration. They turn to music to give them a sense of peace and a sense of well-being. Music in that sense to the world is kind of like a drug to them. It can kind of soothe their soul like it did Saul's. When David would come and play the harp before him and it would calm his spirit. But the music that we have, the psalms and the hymns and the spiritual songs, that's the music of God. Amen. That's the music that the world is longing for. That's the music that can fill the void down in their heart and soul when they start hearing about the Lord. Because everybody born into this world came into this world and there was something missing, and that something is God. When God left Adam, it left a void in Adam's life, and we're born with that void. And only God can fill that void. Only being saved by the grace of God can fill that void. And the world needs to hear our song as well as our testimony. I'd rather sing of His presence than let the devil tell me I'm all alone. I want to read this scripture just before we sing. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter number 13. I want you to notice this scripture tonight, and then we're going to sing. Hebrews 13. You probably know where I'm going. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. I want you to listen to this scripture. He said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have." That's the context of that scripture. The context of this scripture is being contented with what you have. And the reason we can is because of the last song the choir sung. "For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." That song they sang in the choir is exactly right. Jesus is all we need. Because if we've got Jesus, He can supply everything that we have need of. That's why He said, "Let your conversation," or that is your manner of life, "be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have." Because you've got the Lord, and the Lord will never leave you nor forsake you. He said, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hallelujah. Now turn in your songbook to 313. Now let's sing all verses of this song. Amen. 313. I have somebody with me. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? "Though others would be lonely when all their friends are gone, my Lord is ever standing by my side. Heavy load upon me, and yet I'm pressing on, because I found a Savior, friend, and guide. I have somebody with me to share the heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day." We could. "Trouble overtakes me along life's weary road. I have somebody with me all the way. In bitter toil and sorrow and heartaches not a few, a consolation sweet is mine each day. I'm going home tomorrow when life on earth is through. I have somebody with me all the way. I have some mighty men. Hallelujah. Presence near me every day. Trouble overtakes me along my weary road. I have somebody with me all the way. Let's get to the last one. Some folks have lots of pity. They say I'm sad and lone, but I don't need their sympathy at all. For in that golden city, hallelujah. That sounds good, church. I have somebody with me to share the heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day. Trouble overtakes me along life's weary road. I have somebody with me all the way. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. As we think about the message tonight,